61, the Bible says, "And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him before the cock crow, Peter went out and wept bitterly." Let's pray. Father, as we bow once again before you, we want to thank you and praise you this time you've given us, the grace that you've bestowed upon us to come out to your house tonight, Lord, and the privilege it is, and Lord, the desire that you've given us to do that. Thank you for these things, Lord. We thank you for the, Lord, what you will do in our hearts in this service. We thank you for that. Thank you for the strength of the Word of God and the brethren, Lord, and the encouragement. And Lord, we just pray tonight that you do a mighty work in our hearts, amen, Lord, and bring back to our remembrance the things, Lord, that we may have forgotten. And Lord, we'll just thank you for everything in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Y'all know this story and know this account. And I was going to read some back in the beginning of the chapter, and you know what the Lord is talking to Peter, and he's preparing Peter. Really, he tells Peter in verse 31 that Satan has desired to sift him as wheat. Amen. And we know that Peter is not alone in this. Amen. We can take that, and we can glean from that and know that that's the desire of Satan for all of our lives. Amen. All God's people, all God's followers, Satan desires to sift our life. He desires to divide and take all the good out of our life. And we must know this. We must understand this, because he will do that in our life if we're not careful. Let me read these two verses here. And it says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." I want to preach just for a few minutes tonight on what Peter remembered. Yeah. Amen. What Peter remembered. And if you will follow Peter's life, and especially in the epistles that Peter wrote, you will find that often he will, 2 Peter chapter 3, he says, "I want to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." Peter, when Peter remembered there in verse 61, I believe this is something that Peter never got away from. Amen. There was some things that the Lord did for him and told him that this really had an impact on his life. And we are forgetful people. Amen. I mean, the very best we can do, we hear and we read, we study, but you know, everything don't stay with us all the time. Amen. And of course, like I said, when we get out in the world and we rub elbows with the world, it you know, sometimes the things that we know, amen, sometimes they get pushed back in the bag. And I'm glad that God stirs up our pure minds by way of remembrance. I'm not going to preach all that, but I study that out in Peter's life for yourself there in the epistles, how that he, and I'll mention some of them here in a minute, but I want to look at this. I want to see what Peter remembered, and it will help us in what we need to remember. Yeah. Amen. Look what he said here. He said in verse 61, he says, "And the Lord turned and looked at Peter." We know what's taking place. The Lord told Peter what was going to take place. And we know what Peter said. He said, "Lord, I will fight even to the death. I'll go to prison. I'll fight unto the death." And I believe that was sincere in Peter's life. Amen. And when we are close to the Lord, you know, when we're in the house of God and the Lord is feeding our soul, you know, it's just like that we are indestructible. It's like we can face anything, amen. But then we find ourselves many times like Peter, amen, they have taken the Lord, amen, and really and truly they didn't understand fully what was fixing to take place. And so they've taken the Lord, and so he got in a hard place. Yeah. A lot of times we give Peter a hard time about that, but there ain't one of us in here when we get in a hard place, amen, if we ain't careful, amen, we'll be just like Peter. But he told him that. He said, this is what happened. But it says, and Peter remembered. What did he remember? He remembered the word of the Lord. Yeah. Amen. Sometimes we get out, and we get in hard places. We have things come in our life that we weren't expecting. We have troubles. We have trials. Amen. Things come in our life, and sometimes we get so focused on them things that we forget. Amen. Amen. You can study this Bible all your life, and fall into a trial and into a situation, and it gets so overwhelming. Sometimes we just forget. Amen. But Peter, what did he remember? When the Lord looked at him, the Bible says he remembered the word of the Lord. Amen. Peter remembered the precepts of the Lord. James tells us that we are to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. He said, if you're just a hearer of the word, we're like a man that beholds himself in the glass or a mirror. Excuse me. And he go his way straightway. He forget what sort of man he is. Amen. He forgets. Amen. That's easy to do. Sometimes we forget who we are. Sometimes we forget whose we are. Amen. Have you ever forgot whose you was? I know I'm saved, amen, but I have, just like you have, been in battles, amen, and have the fiery darts come in my mind, amen, and it's, you know, the thoughts that you're having and the emotions that you're feeling, it's like you don't know whose you are, amen. But when you remember the precepts of the Lord, amen. When you remember the precepts of the Lord, the Word of God, amen. I told them last night, I said, you know, we just in preaching and often in the service, I said, look, I know I'm saved. And I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. Sometimes I feel saved. Amen. Sometimes I feel good. But listen, I don't know I'm saved because I feel good. I don't know that I'm saved because I'm a preacher. The only way I know that I'm saved is the Word of God. Amen. Amen. I was preaching last night, and I'll try not to get off on that, but I was preaching last night in the book of 1 Peter. No, I'm sorry, it's Sunday night. I was preaching in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 10. Amen. And there in verse number 23, it says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. And here's what I want you to see. He said, for he is faithful that promised. The promise, the word of God. Amen. And I don't know about you, but that helps me. Amen. The promise of God. It says he's faithful that promised. The word that I have before me. Amen. It does not, what I go through, my circumstances never affects it. It never changes it. Amen. What Peter was dealing with, what Peter was going with, even what the Lord was going through, the word of God never changed. Amen. How can we waver with such assurance before us? Amen. The very word of God. The Bible says heaven and earth shall pass away. He said, but my word shall never pass away. Amen. The heavens and earth will flee away one day. But the word of God is forever settled in heaven. Amen. Doesn't matter what I feel like. I'm not belittling things that we go through. I'm not making light of them at all. But there's nothing that we can go through in this life that will ever change the fact of what the Word of God says. And He is faithful that spoke it. Amen. So Peter remembered the Word of the Lord. There's several times that we find that the disciples remembered. Jesus, in this, especially the latter part of His ministry, he dealt with His, after he turned from the nation of Israel, amen, and in their rejection of Him, he turned His focus to His disciples, and He began to teach them and tell them what was going to come to pass. But they didn't, because they was raised in that Judaism, they was raised in that, they was looking for the kingdom, and they just really couldn't grasp that until after He resurrected. The Bible says they remembered what He said. Amen. So we need to listen when we face the hard times in life, when we face trials, when we face struggles, when we face adversity. Amen. We need to remember the Word of God. It's the only thing that God puts above His name. Amen. Amen. So Peter remembered, it says, Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how that He said unto him before the cock crew, that thou shalt deny me thrice. Now, this made Peter weep, but it still had a positive effect on Peter. Amen. We may look at it negatively because the Lord told him, you're going to deny me, and He did. But what this did to Peter, what this made Peter realize is, see, Peter thought he knew himself. Peter thought he even said, Lord, and I believe he's as sincere as he could be when he said, Lord, I will go to prison. I will even go to death for you. Amen. And before the cock crew, amen, it was just like Jesus said. What assurance in that settled in Peter's heart. Though it was negative in Peter's life, it forever changed Peter. And when we put our confidence in the Word and know that every jot and every tittle is God's Word, amen, it will transform our lives. Amen. Peter remembered the precepts of the Lord. Let me go on. Peter remembered back in verse 32, it says, you know, he said that Satan desired to sift you as wheat, but it says in verse 32, but I have prayed for you, for thee. I have prayed for thee. Amen. I can imagine Peter being so defeated, amen, when he heard the cock crow. He saw the look of the Lord. Amen. I've never seen the Lord in person, but I've seen the look. Amen. Amen. Disappointed. Amen. Disappointing my Lord. Amen. Of my life. I've seen that by faith. I've seen that look. Amen. And he heard the cock crow. He was discouraged. Amen. The Bible says he went out and wept bitterly. Amen. But he remembered that the Lord, Jesus didn't say, I will pray for you. Amen. When he was telling Peter what he was going to do, He said, I have prayed for you. Amen. That's what he said, wasn't it? He says, I have prayed for thee. What did he pray? That thy faith fail not. Well, he remembered the word of the Lord, the promise that he's faithful. He's seen that Jesus knew what he was talking about. Amen. Amen. And so he said, he's prayed for me. Have you ever been discouraged? Have you ever disappointed the Lord? Have you ever been outside of the will of God? And it just seems like it destroys you emotionally and spiritually, and you're just in that place. And you know, there's nothing to help. There's no words from the preacher. There's no words from the family. It's the Lord. Amen. And he said, I believe Peter remembered that the Lord had prayed for him. Amen. And so his faith, he knew the Lord, his word was true, and he was assured that the Lord knows what he's talking about, and the Lord prayed for me. And why did he pray? That my faith fail not. Amen. You know, when you're discouraged, it is the Lord is the only one that can encourage you. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm glad for the brethren that give encouraging words, but you can't speak to my heart. The Lord can. And the Lord does. Amen. When we remember, amen, when we remember the book of John chapter 17, that's the Lord's Prayer, amen, recorded there. And he in his prayer, he said, He prays to the Father, and he says in verse 9, he says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but I pray for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Who's he talking about? He's talking about God's people. Amen. He's not praying for this world system. He's praying for God's people. He said, I prayed. Listen, he told Peter, I prayed that your faith fail not. He goes on in chapter 17 of the book of John, verse 15. He said, I pray. He said, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. I don't know about you, but it helps me. Listen, that prayer was prayed a long time ago. Amen. But it was for all that are thine, he said. Helps me to know that the Lord prays for me. Amen. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, that he is able to save them unto the uttermost. Amen. Why is that? Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession. Amen. That's what we're studying Wednesday night, is the priesthood and those Old Testament priests. Amen. That was God's way. I understand that. But the more perfect way came through Christ. And the difference was, there was many of those high priests because they died over and over again. But he's telling those Hebrew Christians that Christ, he ever liveth. They understood that like nobody else. He ever liveth to make intercession. Listen, I heard Brother C.L. Roach say this one night, preaching. He was preaching on the priesthood. He said, Jesus is not in heaven wringing his hands, asking the Father to do this and to do that. But the intercession that he makes is in him alone, just his presence. Amen. Because see, everything that I receive from the Father, it is because of Christ. And he's in heaven interceding for me. Amen. Yeah. He's not trying to convince the Father to do something. Listen, no, he is his very presence, his very person is intercessory. Many scriptures, he remembered the prayer of the Lord. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 5. He said, we have a man, the man Christ Jesus in heaven for us. He is a mediator between God and man. Amen. So Peter remembered the prayer of the Lord. He remembered, and I've done hit this, but I'll say it, he remembered the promise of the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen. He remembered the promise that your faith fail not. Amen. Sometimes I wonder about myself, but if I know that the Lord prayed that my faith fail not, listen, I can put my confidence in that.
Yeah.
He remembered, and then I'll close with this, he remembered the purpose of the Lord.
Yes.
Then he went out and wept bitterly. But I wanted to call your attention back to verse 32. He said, but I've prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted. Now, Peter's already saved.
Right.
All right. Amen. Peter's already saved. He's not talking about conversion and being born again. And of course, this is Old Testament. I mean, I know it's in our New Testament, but it's still under Old Testament economy. But Peter was saved. So what was he talking about? The Lord knowed where Peter was, what was going to happen to Peter. He knew that he was going to fail, and he knew that he was going to get to deny the Lord. And he was talking about when you get that right. When you get that right. Amen. He said, when thou art converted, what does he do? Strengthen the brethren. I told him last night, and I'm trying not to preach everything I preached last night, but I you know, there in Hebrews 10, where it says that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. So much the more as you see the day approaching. But the verse before that, it tells us to provoke one another. Amen. To good works and love. Amen. And what that is, and I said it like this, that's the Christian life in a nutshell. Amen. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Amen. He did not think of himself. Amen. He being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God.
Yeah.
Amen. Made himself of no reputation. Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
So what is he talking about? He's talking about he was a selfless act. It was not selfish. It was for others. That's why we're here. For others. Amen. It's a miserable Christian life, living it for self. Amen. Jesus did not live for himself in his body. He lived for others. He came for others. He came for you. He came for me. He laid his life down up on the cross of Calvary and gave everything that he had for us. Let this mind be in you. That's the Christian life in a nutshell. Amen. And that's what Jesus said to Peter. He said, when you get right, Peter, he said, strengthen the brethren. You know what? Peter was in a unique position to strengthen the brethren that nobody else was. Amen. Think about that. The disciples. Why was that? We don't find the other disciples going through a denial. I know Judas. He was false at the beginning. But when the Lord causes us to remember, amen. What did he tell the church at Ephesus? He says, "I know thy works." He said, "I've got a few things against thee." He says, "Thou hast left thy first love." He says, remember therefore. It's in there. We need to remember that. And listen, when we remember that, And when Peter remembered that, what happened? He went out and wept bitterly. When Jesus was resurrected, and I'm trying to hurry. When Jesus was resurrected, the angel there at the tomb, when Mary and them came to the tomb, they said, go tell the other disciples and Peter.
Yeah.
What about that?
Yeah.
He said, the other disciples and Peter,
yeah,
that the Lord goeth before them to Galilee, that he'll meet them there. Amen. He singled Peter out. Amen. And what happened whenever Peter, he went fishing. Amen. He went fishing. And we know the story. I'm not going to go through that. But he came to the Lord. What happened? Jesus says, lovest thou me more than these? Yea, Lord, I love you. Feed my lambs. Lovest thou me more than these, Peter? Yes, Lord, thou knowest.
Yeah.
Feed my sheep. He was recommissioning Peter. Amen. He was converted. He's getting things right. And so Peter remembered. He remembered the purpose. Do you remember? Andrew found Peter and brought him to the Lord. But it was not until the great draught of fishes that Peter seen the Lord for who he was. Remember what the Lord said to him? As they had that great draught, he says, I'm going to make you fishers of men. I believe Peter remembered his purpose. Amen. And we've all got a purpose. Amen. Sometimes we lose sight of that. Sometimes we get so much other things on our mind that we forget about it. You can be a preacher, you can be a pastor, you can be a deacon, but it doesn't matter what you are. Amen. If you're a child of God, you've got a purpose. Men, you've got a purpose in your family. Amen. You got a purpose in the home. You got a purpose in your community. Amen. You got a purpose in your church. Peter, when the Lord looked at him, Peter remembered the precepts of the Lord. He remembered the prayer of the Lord, the promise, and he remembered the purpose of the Lord.
Amen.
That's four things that we need to remember. And Peter continually, he'd write and he'd say, I just want to write, stir up your pure mind by way of remembrance. I want you to remember what the Lord's done, what the Lord said. Amen. All right, I'm through.
The Lord for that. Amen. What a blessing. So many things there. Well, I say so many things, most of the things. He said tonight, I know exactly where he's coming from, what he's saying. Amen. Thank God for that. Thank God for the message. Praise the Lord. I'm glad that you know, Peter, when he remembered, you know, when it was brought to his mind, that was his inner voice, or I guess the word that's used for, you know, he remembered. We have the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
To bring all things to our remembrance, don't we? All things that the Lord had said. And you talk about a great help the time that the Holy Spirit brings things to our remembrance to show us the way to go, to keep us from temptation, to give us the answers that we're searching for. What a blessing. I'm not trying to add to the message tonight, but thank God for it. Amen. Brother Tilly, would you come and preach to us this evening?
Good evening.
Good evening.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Try it again. Praise the Lord.
Good to be in God's house on Thursday night. And I just want to say I love the Lord. Amen. I love His Word. And I love His people. I love y'all. And I thank God for you tonight. And wouldn't it be good just to get raptured right here? I mean, just we just go on to heaven with each other. Yeah. But I just praise God tonight to be in the family of God, because I tell you, Jesus said it's a straight gate and a narrow way that leads to life eternal, and there's only a few that finds it. And we, as the world goes, are in the minority. There's 8 billion people on the planet right now, and out of those 8 billion people, how many of us are born again? How many of us have the Holy Ghost bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God? And that, so if we don't have anything else to praise the Lord for, we need to praise Him because He saved us. Amen. Well, let's all stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Stretch your legs for just a minute. Father, we love you, God, and we thank you for your precious word this evening, and we thank you for your people. We thank you for these men that have come out on Thursday night, Lord, to worship you. Father, I pray that we'd be of one mind and one accord, worshiping you in spirit and in truth, Lord, and that our love for you and our love for each other would be genuine and fervent and unfeigned, God. And Lord, that we would be the men that you would have us to be. Give us wisdom and knowledge and understanding tonight from your word. Help us to grow in grace. Lord, we're nothing without you. And without you, we can do nothing. Lord, we're just dust and ashes, God, in the flesh. And Father, we pray, Lord, that you'd help us to keep our hand on the plow till you come for us. Help us to be about your business, Lord. We love you. We give you the praise, the honor, and the glory forevermore. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you would take your Bibles this evening and be finding Matthew chapter number 20. Matthew chapter 20. And Brother Jason, the end of his message is the beginning of this one. And it just goes right into it. And he was talking about Peter, and we'll be looking at James and John. This is the inner circle, by the way, Peter, James, and John. They were the ones that was privileged enough to go up on the mountain and see Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus, our Lord. But in Matthew chapter 20, and beginning in verse number 20, this is not long, just a few days before, our Lord made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, riding on the colt, the foal of an ass. And in verse number 20, the Bible said, "Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? She saith unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left, in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, Ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, We are able. Then he saith unto them, Ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. That word means to serve. And to give his life a ransom for many. And I'm going to stop reading right there. And I'd like to speak tonight, Lord willing, for just a few minutes on this subject, a life of service. A life of service. Did you know that when the Lord saved us, he saved us unto a life of service, good works, and that's what we're supposed to be about, amen. It's not about us, it's about Jesus. Now, I don't care, listen, if it's 33 A.D. or 2024 A.D., people are people are people. And the Lord called those disciples, and all 12 of them were fallible people. I mean, he could have got the religious crowd. He could have called the scribes and the Pharisees and the lawyers and the Reverend Dr. Brother so-and-so, but he didn't. He called Peter the fisherman and Andrew the fisherman. Come on.
Amen.
And the sons of Zebedee, the fishermen, and common folk with common problems. And all of us, and I mean people in general, we're natural born sinners in need of Jesus. And the disciples were no different. I mean, here there's a power struggle already. There's the works of the flesh are involved here, and you see strife and vainglory and envy coming out in this. You had two men out of the 12. That wanted to advance further than the other 10.
Yeah.
They wanted to sit on the right hand and the left hand of the Lord in the kingdom. And I don't know that they didn't go ask their mama to come up there and ask Jesus. Surely he won't turn my mama down. And so here, get this picture. Here comes James and John and their mama to the Lord. Now I want you to pay attention to what the Lord said right here. In verse 21, when she came to him, she came worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. But look what the Lord said to her. He said, "What wilt thou?" In modern day English, that would be, "What can I do for you?" See, that's the motto of a servant.
Right.
Not "What can I do for me?" And not "What can you do for me?" What can I do for you?
Amen.
What wilt thou? See, Jesus is our example of being a servant. And matter of fact, you see this throughout his ministry. There's a leper came up to him one day, and nobody would touch him. The only thing they did was point their finger at that man and say, "Unclean!
Yeah.
He's unclean!" And there's Jesus coming to him one day. And the Lord went up to him. And he said, "What can I do for you? What wilt thou? What would you have me do?" You know what that leper did? As humbly as he knew how, he said, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean."
Amen.
And you know what the Lord said? "I will. Be thou clean."
Amen.
And then he touched him. That other people wouldn't touch.
Yeah.
And the Lord went over there. There was a man desperate in need. What did he need? He needed his leprosy cleansed.
Right.
And he went over there and he said, "I will be thou clean." He was out there at the pool of Bethesda one day. And there was a man that had been laying there for 38 years waiting for the water to be stirred. And this servant Jesus that came to serve mankind, that came to minister to us, walked over to that man. And he said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" He said, I have no man, Lord. I don't have anybody to lift me up and put me in that water. When it starts to stir, and boys, I wish I did. Listen, he was standing there talking to the one that stirred the water. Yeah. And you know what? The Lord made him whole. Matter of fact, you get to the end of this chapter right here, you go on past where we just read, and there's two blind men standing by the side of the road that nobody else is paying much attention to. And Jesus come walking by, and verse 32, right there where you're at, verse 32, Jesus stood still. The rest of them wasn't paying them no mind. And Jesus stood still and said, what will ye that I shall do unto you? Hey, blind fellas, what can I do for you? You know what they said? They say unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. I mean, that's what they said, Lord. Amen. They started out, Lord. They started off on the right foot. They recognized Christ Jesus as being the Lord. They went up to him and they said, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So look at verse 34. Look at the word here. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. I mean, he's our example of being a servant. And here the sons of Zebedee come, and their mama came with them and said, well, Lord, I'd like for my two sons to sit on your right hand and your left hand when it comes into your kingdom. Can you imagine what went through those other 10 disciples' mind when they saw that? I mean, they'd be looking there and saying, are you serious? Are you kidding me? You went and got your mama to come down here and ask the Lord if you can sit on the right hand and the left hand of the Lord. And then the Bible says they was filled with indignation. I mean, that's like being on a job site. You know, it's like being at work. And you got one of the guys that's just constantly the apple polisher and wanting to get in there and get in good with the boss. So he can move on up. Come on. People are people. The disciples wasn't any different. Ah, but listen here, Jesus saw here, he saw a teachable moment, not just for James and John and those other disciples that were there, but for us up here in Shooting Creek tonight. He saw a teachable example right here. And listen to what the Lord's answer was that. He said, you don't, verse 22, he answered and said, ye know not what ye ask. He said, are you able to drink the cup that I shall drink of? Well, you know, James, he was martyred by Herod. John was exiled to Patmos. The Bible don't bear it out, but there's, I think the Book of Martyrs says that he was boiled in oil, or they tried to kill him by boiling in oil, and it didn't work. I don't know if that happened or not, but I know he was persecuted for the cause of Christ. And so they said, we are able. And he said, well, you will. But he said, look, that's for the Father to decide. And you need to get your focus off of who's going to be sitting on the right hand and the left hand and start focusing on being a servant.
Yeah.
Amen. And serving the Lord. And he said this, look at verse 25. Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles. Who's he talking about there? He's talking about the world. The world has a version of everything. Amen. They've got a version of love, and they call it lust. Come on. They got a version of joy, and they call it getting high. They got a version of peace, and they say you can find it in a pill bottle somewhere. Well, the world has a version of what's important. And they got these bumper stickers on the back of these pickup trucks that says, he who dies with the most toys wins. The boats and the four-wheelers and the campers and all this kind of thing. And Jesus said, that's not what it's about at all. Life is more than meat, and the body's more than raiment. And he said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. In other words, these ones that want to be great, they want to keep everybody else under their thumb. Whether it's by manipulation or whether it's by riding herd over them or bullying them or whatever they have to do. That's what the world wants to do. Hey, listen, brag on myself and put everybody else down, and I'll move up, and I'll just keep tamping them down and everything. And God forbid that it gets into the church to where people see church as an opportunity to exercise authority over somebody else. I go out in the community down there in Peachtree, and people say, well, are you keeping them straight up there at Upper Peachtree? I say, brother, I can't even keep myself straight. I have to depend on the Lord to keep us all straight. Amen? God didn't call us to be a bunch of big mouth bullies. Amen? And listen to what he said right here. He said, they, the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, that they are, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But look at verse 26. He said, but it shall not be so among you. But whosoever be great among you, let him be your minister. Let him be your servant. People in the world, they look up to somebody that's the bully, the loudmouth. Well, I better be friends with the bully, or he'll start bullying me. Oh, they look up. Oh, look at him. He's got all the money in the world. He's just rich. He does this. He does that. You know what the Lord said? He said the last will be first and the first will be last. What do you reckon he was talking about? He said the meek shall inherit the earth. Praise God. He said that, they that are poor in spirit, blessed are they that are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And you know, he further illustrated it just a few days later right here. Brother talked about it. The night before he went to the cross, he set his garments aside and he girded himself with a towel and he took a basin and he went down through there and he washed 12 men's nasty feet. Two of them wanted to sit at his right and his left hand. One of them would deny him three times before the rooster crows. One of them would betray him with a kiss into the hands of men, and they all would flee for it from him before daylight. Yeah. And there Jesus was on his bended knee. And those precious hands that a few hours later would be pierced through with nails were washing their feet. Do you hear me? He was washing those men's feet. And then he said, do you see what I've done? He said, I've washed your feet, now you wash each other's feet. I've loved you, now you love one another. Can I just tell you something right here? Think about this. Out of those 12 disciples, I didn't read anywhere in here that one of them said, no, Lord, here, let me do that. No, Lord, here, you don't need to be washing people's feet. Let me wash their feet. Sometimes, God bless your heart, we want a title. But we don't want the responsibility that goes with it. I'm talking about a life of service. Do you hear me? And it's not just pastors and deacons, but pastors have responsibilities, okay? Here's 1 Peter chapter 5. The Bible says, feed the flock. Peter, lovest thou me? Feed my sheep. If we don't do anything else as pastors, we got to feed the flock. We got to be careful what we feed them. Amen. And we need to let the Lord direct us in what to feed them, because he knows what people needs to hear. And we need to be on our knees, pastor friends, and asking God, Lord, what would you have me to preach? And he'll give it to you. He'll give it to you. He knows who needs to hear what. Amen. But we're to feed the flock and we're to take the oversight, not by constraint, but willingly, and not for filthy lucre's sake. There's a big church here in the county. So Somebody told me they had something like 400 or 500 applications when they didn't have a pastor for the big church. There's some little churches around here that closed their doors years ago because they can't get nobody to come pastor. Come on. Better let God decide who preaches word and let him send men, amen, to serve as a pastor. Exactly. Filthy lucre's sake. Come on. I'm telling you the truth tonight. And the deacons, you know, in Acts chapter number 6, the first deacons it was called, said, look you out 7 men that are of good report and full of the Holy Ghost. That's the prerequisite.
Yeah.
Amen. Timothy went on and gave the qualifications for pastors, gave the qualifications for deacons. I run into a man the other day at the post office. When I come to see you, brother, I went in and stopped and talked to him a little bit. But I run into a man outside, and we was talking about this. Church he goes to, church where Billy goes to, they've been without a pastor now 7 years. 7 years. Listen, me and him was talking about this. The pool for pastors and the pool for deacons is dwindling down because of the qualifications. This divorce is terrible. These men that works in the church and praise God for them, that's been divorced, but they're not qualified to be a deacon, they're not qualified to be a pastor because they've divorced and remarried. And I told that man down there the other day, I said, we can't compromise on that. But it's a life of service. And listen, we have to remember that, praise God, the Lord said, if you put your hand on the plow and then you look back, you're not fit for the kingdom. You're not fit for the work. You've got to keep your hand on the plow and looking straight ahead. And you've got to keep working. And he said, listen, I know out here in the world that the great men, so-called great men, they exercise authority over one another. And he said, that's not going to be that way with you. He said, you want to be great in the kingdom of God? You want to be great in the kingdom of heaven? Then you need to be the servant.
That's right.
He didn't say that by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. Did you clean up good on Sunday morning? Did you go with the Bible under your arm? That you belong to a certain political party? He didn't say that. He said, this is how they'll know you're my disciples, in that ye have love one for another. And he said, I give you a new commandment that ye love one another. That same John that wrote that, listen, over there in 1 John, he said, how can you love God who you've not seen when you can't even love your brother who you have seen? And Paul put it this way. He said, though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. If you don't, out of a heart of unfeigned, genuine love, serve the Lord, you're just a lot of noise. You hear me? Amen. I love you tonight, but I'm sick unto death for all this hateful talk that's going on in America. It's just, and calling people vermin and calling people ugly names and saying just hateful old ugly thing, the foul old language that's coming from people that you're supposed to be able to look up to in this country. I mean, it's belched out of the south end of hell. But listen, friend, that's not us. Do you hear me? That's not us. Jesus put it this way. Again, the night before he went to the cross, in John chapter 15, he said, if you were of the world, then the world would love his own. But I've called you out of the world, and now the world hates you. When he was praying for us in John 17, he said, Father, I've given them thy word, and now the world hates them for it. But that's what sanctifies us. That's what separates us from the world. Amen. It's being doers of the word. He said, Father, I pray that you'd sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And his word says that we are to be a servant to people. We are to have the same mind, Paul said, that's in Christ Jesus. Putting the needs of others before ourselves. Now, I can't. Listen, let's be real about this thing. I can't open the eyes of the blind, make the lame to walk, the dumb to talk. I know a man who can. Amen. Listen, but I'll tell you what I can do. I can pray for somebody at the grocery store. I can run down there to the drugstore and get their medicine for them if they ain't able to. Come on. Listen, those first deacons, they were to serve the tables. So that why? The disciples could focus on preaching the word of God. A deacon's job is to serve church folks. Amen. And if you serve well, there's a blessing involved if you hold the office of a deacon well. Well, I'm preaching this tonight. Somebody needs to hear it. I think it's me. I'm preaching to myself tonight, by the way, and you're welcome to listen in if you want to. I need to hear this. Praise God. But now listen, to whom much is given, much is required. And we have a lot of liberty in Christ Jesus, but with that liberty comes responsibility. It's more than just a title saying I'm a Christian. There's some obligation that goes along with that. Amen. Yep. And then look what he said. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto. Jesus said, I didn't come down here asking what you can do for me. I come here asking what I can do for you. John Kennedy years ago gave a speech and he said, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. And ever since then, there's a big long line of people of saying, what can the country do for me? Yeah. Gimme, 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 gimme. Yeah. Come on. My pastor said one time that, he said, the problem is, he says, everybody's wanting to ride the wagon. Nobody's pulling the wagon. And he said, if somebody ain't pulling the wagon, everybody's wanting to ride the wagon stops. Amen. That's for another day. And I'm going to hush. But it's like Brother said, and I told Jason here the other day, Jason Killian, the other day, I love it when the Lord sends people into my life that tells me I'm getting some of this stuff right. I'm saying some of this stuff I'm getting right. But he said something tonight from the pulpit that I've been saying for years from the pulpit. We need to be reminded who we are and whose we are. Amen. And I'll tell you, it's awful easy when you're bombarded with this cable news, and it's just constantly just blaring out and telling you that the skies are falling and gloomy doomy and everything's so bad. Listen, praise God. Things are going to get better. I can tell you on the authority of the Word of God, things are going to get better. There's a Jehovah's Witness coming to my house one day, and I'm sitting in there reading my Bible when they come up on the porch. And this lady said, Mr. Tilly, she said, things sure are bad right now, ain't they? I said, yes, ma'am, they sure are. She said, it's hard to imagine things will ever get better, ain't it? I said, it sure is. She said, you think things will ever get better? I said, I sure do. She said, when do you think things will get better? I said, when my Lord comes back to get me. And I'll light out of here like a .30-06 bullet right straight up to meet him in the air. Yeah. I said, things will get better. But until then, the Bible says evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, right, deceiving and being deceived, lying six ways from Sunday. I'm glad I know the truth. Amen. The way, the truth, and the life. His name is Jesus. He's never lied to me. Amen. He's never been convicted of a felony or a misdemeanor or anything else. Yeah. Praise God, I love you tonight. You do what you want to. I'm walking by faith and not by sight. Come see me about 10 million years from now and ask me if it was worth it. Come see me then. I say it's worth every mile. Amen. Worth every time I prayed and read my Bible and went to church and went out here and visited in the nursing homes and the hospitals and people's houses and everything and sat in the middle of the night waiting for the funeral home to get there and whatever else the Lord's been gracious enough to allow me to do over here on this side of the river. Praise God. You know what them disciples, they took them in and they beat them. Acts chapter 5. They beat them. You know what they did? They came out of there praising the Lord that they was counted worthy to suffer for his name. Yeah. Yeah. I'm talking about being a servant.
Right. Yeah.
Amen. And can I just tell you, we were in chapter 20 in Matthew. You go on over to chapter number 25. And the Lord separates the sheep and the goats. And he looked at the sheep and he said, enter into the joys of your Lord. Because when I was sick, you come and visited me. When I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was in prison, you come and visited me.
Yeah.
And they said, Lord, when saw we thee hunger, thirsty? He said, when you did it unto the one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. When we serve others, we're serving Jesus. Amen.
Yes.
And I know I'm so thankful to be saved. I'm so thankful to be born again.
Yeah.
But I have no cause to look down my nose at a lost person that's on their way to hell. I have no cause, Derek, to look down my nose at a lost person that's on their way to hell. Because I've been in the same shape. And listen, had it not been for the mercy of Almighty God,
yeah,
every one of us in this room, we'd be in hell already.
Right.
And rightly so.
Amen, sir.
Because in our sin, the Bible says if you say you have no sin, you're deceiving yourself. You're a liar. Amen. And the truth's not, that's right. The truth's not, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and there's none righteous, no, not one. But we better understand, hey, had it not been for the love and the mercy and the goodness of Almighty God, we'd already be in hell. Because through our sin, we committed high treason against God Almighty. Amen. And these people that are around us, that are dying by the bushel fulls and going to hell, hey, listen, I tell you, I would not want to stand at the end of this thing and stand before a thrice holy God and him say, well, Derek, how many people did you tell about Jesus? Did you tell anybody about Jesus? Did you share the gospel with anybody? That don't just fall to the preacher and the deacon. That falls to all of us. Amen. We're supposed to go into all the world. And Acts chapter 1, he said, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. The two great enablers that he has given us to be an effective witness for him are the Word of God and the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God will never do anything contrary to the Word of God, and the Word of God never says anything contrary to the Spirit of God. He said, Jesus said, these words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Amen. Well, I hope something's been said to help you. Praise God. And, I don't know what we're going to face tomorrow when we go out here. But acts of kindness, being kind and compassionate. Jesus showed compassion on them blind men. He illustrated what he just taught them about being a servant. And when nobody else was paying attention to them two blind men, our Lord just stopped and stood still and said, here's the illustration. What can I do for you that our eyes may be opened? You know what he did? He went over and opened their eyes.
Amen.
Sometimes we say, well, listen, we see somebody and we don't even You don't know that person that's sitting next to you. You don't know what they're going through. They might be going through something, and you say, you know what? What can I do to help you? What would help you? I was in the hospital one time. I'm going to hush, I promise. I was in the hospital one time for 3 months. I had cancer. I was 17. And there was a couple that came in there. And I was in Wilford Hall Medical Center in Texas. First time away from home. And I was down there, and all they let me wear in the hospital was pajamas. And it makes you feel bad wearing pajamas all the time. This couple came by my room, and their son was in the room down the hall. And they come in, and they said, is there anything that you need? Is there anything that we can do for you? And I said, boy, I'm tired of wearing these pajamas, and I wished I just had me. I said, they've got my clothes locked up somewhere over on the other side of the base. And I said, I just wished I had me some clothes to wear. I said, if you could just go to Kmart, next time you're at Kmart or something, just get me a cheap pair of jeans and a cheap pair of shoes and a cheap shirt. And they come in a few days later, and they brought me just what I asked for, a pair of jeans, shirt, tennis shoes, something that I could wear. But that made me feel so much better. And I've never forgot those two people right there. And they've been people all down through my life. But the Lord, that's what he is. What can I do for you? Not what you can do for me. Come on. Amen. And I say this. Proverbs says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. If you're wringing your hands like a nervous ninny and worrying yourself to death over what's going on in Washington, D.C., and what's going on TV and everything, mash that button on TV and get your hands and your feet busy working for Jesus. And bless God, maybe it'll get your mind off this trash that's out here. This whole world's got a reservation for a fire baptism anyway. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 3, Bible says, seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons were we to be in all holy conversation and godliness? We see that this world's going to burn up and fizzle out. But the Word of God lives, abides forever. Amen. Thank y'all. I don't know how to turn it off, brother. I'm going to have to leave that with you.